God be with you, and welcome to worship at Knox United Church in Parksville. And I'm delighted that Barb Myers is joining us today. Barb, I have known for many, many years from Alberta Northwest Conference, which is, it used to be called that. It's called Chinook Region now, I think. And Barb has played for conference level and has played in congregations and is also a diaconal minister in the United Church. So we are thrilled that you're joining us today to offer your gift of music, Barb. So excited that you're here. Good. And Karen Golden is a new member of our church, and she is going to be sharing her experience of food as it relates to being a vegan and practicing her spirituality through her veganism, if that's a word. And so thank you so much, both of you, for being here today. A little reminder about Backyard Church. So in your Knox e-news or in a congregational email, you will see lots of opportunity. There are 7 different teams around Parksville and Qualicum Beach that are going to be offering Backyard Church in this next coming week. And so you can just look at that email and call the team and go to that location and the date and the time and enjoy a time of fellowship together and exploring your faith with one another at Backyard Church. So be sure to sign up for that because they're starting this Sunday at different times throughout the week. And I'd also like to thank John Thompson, I'm going to be on holidays for the next 5 Sundays, and John Thompson is going to be taking next week, and then Dr. Ross Lockhart is going to be offering his gift of preaching in the following 4 weeks before my return, August 23rd. We recognize that we are on the traditional territory of the Pentlatch people, ancestors of the Nanus and Qualicum nations, with whom we continue to work toward truth and reconciliation as one people. We light the Christ candle this day as we begin worship as a reminder that the Spirit, the light of God, is always burning among us. As we gather together in our respective places of worship, in our homes or at here in Knox, we offer the peace to one another. And so I would invite you to close your eyes and imagine those with whom you would like to make peace with, whether it's people here or in your family. I invite you to pass the peace of Christ with one another as we listen to Barb.
The Spirit is a-moving in my heart. The Spirit is a-moving in my heart. It's moving me to love and share, to work for freedom everywhere. The Spirit is a-moving in my heart. The Spirit moved the people to the promised land. The Spirit raised up prophets who would take a stand. It spoke a language everyone could understand. And the Spirit was a-moving in their hearts. And the Spirit is a-moving in my heart. The Spirit is a-moving in my heart. Moving me to love and share, to work for freedom everywhere. The Spirit is a-moving in my heart. And the Spirit's moving folks to see what they can do. It's moving in Manila and Soweto too. And the Spirit moves in everything that's just and true. The Spirit is a-moving in our hearts. The Spirit is a-moving in our hearts. The Spirit is a-moving in our hearts. Moving us to love and share, to work for freedom everywhere. The Spirit is a-moving in our hearts. The Spirit is a moving in our hearts. The Spirit is a moving in our hearts.
Indeed it is. Let us pray. Sacred Spirit of all creation, we give thanks that you are indeed moving in each of our hearts this day. And we ask for your blessing as we gather together, each in our own way, in our own sacred spaces. Hold us close to you and to each other as we open our hearts to your presence among us. May we sense you in a word, in a song, in a prayer. May your Holy Spirit move among us and inspire us and challenge us, comfort us, encourage us, and grow us, we pray. All this we ask in the name of the one who came to show us the way to love, the Christ. Amen. We gather together, and as we gather, it's important that we sing and are reminded that we, even though we are apart, we are all one. Let us sing together. We are one as we come.
We are one as we come, joyful to be here. In the praise on our lips, there's a sense that God is near. We are one as we sing, as we seek, we are found, and we come needful of God's grace as we meet together in this place. We are one as we feast, peace becomes the sign in the bread and the wine. There's a sense of love divine. We are one as we come, as we feed, we are fed, and we feel God's refreshing grace as we meet at table in this place.
I've invited Karen to read our scripture for us this day.
The first reading is from Genesis. So God created humankind in God's own image. In the image of God, humans were created. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it was very good. And from the book of Acts, Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul then stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and thereby avoided this damage and loss. I urge you now to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For last night there stood by me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before the emperor, and indeed God has granted safety to all those who are sailing with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we will have to run aground on some island.' Just before daybreak, Paul urged all of them to take some food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day that you have been in suspense and remaining without food, having eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will help you to survive, for none of you will lose a hair from your heads.' After he had said this, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then all of them were encouraged and took food for themselves. We were in all 276 persons in the ship."
So are you all ready for your joke of the day? This is compliments of John Thompson. Why did the sushi roll? Because she saw the apple turnover. I know it's bad. Today we're going to be reflecting on our spiritual resilience and its relationship with food. The act of breaking bread is considered holy. It's holy because it contributes to our wholeness, to our spiritual resilience in so many ways. Food represents so many things which are sacred. Life itself, our health and well-being, our sense of community and oneness and interdependence with one another, all the ethical choices we make in the way we relate to food. In our scripture from Genesis that Karen just read, we're reminded that the Creator of all provides food for all of creation. And you will notice in our passage from Genesis 1 that to all sentient beings, the Creator provides plants for our sustenance and continued well-being. There is no mention of eating meat or animals, even being carnivorous. To human beings and to swimming things and to creeping things and to flying things alike, the Creator provides vegetation for food. An interesting note is that it is not until the story of Noah at the time of the flood, when they've all landed, does the Creator sanction the eating of meat for food for humans. But there are conditions regarding the killing of those animals for food that are restrictive and humane, outlined in that passage from Genesis 9. And in our second scripture from the book of Acts, chapter 27, food and the breaking of bread is understood as a necessity for the continued sanctity of life. In our story of Paul, he is a prisoner on a doomed ship. But the Creator is understood as providing enough food for Paul, his fellow missionaries, and for the people who have captured him, 276 passengers on the ship in all. Food is understood as a key necessity in the ongoing survival of human beings and all creatures. It is what gives us our strength, our resilience, our capacity to endure adversity and challenge. Our very health is determined by the food we eat. Without food, our lives and health cannot be sustained. But the breaking of bread is understood spiritually as even more than sustenance. Food creates a sense of shared community. On the ship, we're told, Paul sits down to break bread with his enemies, those who have captured him in the first place. It is his faith in this God who cares for friend and enemy alike that brings all 276 to safety. As someone once said to me, we cannot break bread with an enemy and remain enemies. By the breaking of bread together, it compels us to become friends. There is something holy, whole, about sharing in a meal together, where strangers automatically become friends in the breaking of bread and sharing of food and in the stories of our lives. Once we have had a conversation and shared food together, one becomes friend with even our worst enemy. The word companion itself, literally from the Latin roots, means with bread. Those who share bread with us become our companions on the way. At the table, we become one people. And we notice that the bread on Paul's doomed ship is not hoarded. It is shared equally with everyone on the ship, whether one is a captain or a first mate or a sailor or a prisoner. There is no disparity on how the food is shared. The poor and the rich, the powerful and the powerless share equally in the food. The need for food for physical survival is the great leveler. And that is why so many stories in our scriptures involve the importance of sharing food as a sign of grace and hospitality. And when we read the story from Acts, we are told that Paul, in front of everyone, broke the bread and blessed it and gave God thanks for it. He said grace. Where have we read those words and seen that action before? But in the words of Jesus gathered with his companions at the Last Supper. With the breaking of bread, there is always the sense of profound gratitude, of giving thanks for the food we have been served, for the food that has been prepared, grateful that our stomachs are no longer hurting in hunger. In our story of the scripture today, the people on the ship have not eaten, we are told, for 2 weeks. That's a very long time to go without food. I have not gone much longer than that, than 24 hours without food. They had no idea how long they were going to be adrift with a damaged ship at sea, unable to see land. And so they have been trying to conserve what little wheat they have on board. And so they are very hungry, famished, starving, when Paul says to them, I had a dream in which an angel assured me that the ship might be lost, but all of us will be spared by the Creator I worship. So let's trust in this God and eat and have our fill, for my God's promises are true. And so in trust and gratitude, they eat their fill until they are satisfied, full to the brim. What an incredible gift it is to feel full and satisfied. Every time we say a grace of thanksgiving at a meal, we are giving thanks that we are not hungry, aware of the hunger that so many in the world suffer. Which brings us to the ethics around what we eat. We are becoming more and more aware of the ethics of food. We are aware of the disparity between those who have enough food and those who don't. We are becoming more and more aware of how food is produced and the difference between those food producers who use pesticides and toxins to produce food and the risk that places on our overall health, and those who try to farm organically. We have become aware of packaging food and the ethics of all that. We have become aware of the cost of trading food and how food imported from hundreds of miles away adds to the pollution of our planet, and the need for us as a global economy to rethink where our food comes from, and the need for us to shift to a 100-mile radius of where our food comes from. COVID-19 might just force us to eat food closer to home, locally produced and locally grown, and even encourage us to grow our own food. I know Rain and I have started a garden this year. How has COVID-19 made you rethink food? There are so many important questions that as people of faith, we all need to faithfully wrestle with as we reflect on the connection between food and our faith. As one writer by the name of Peter Boland puts it, the way we eat is the way we live. How we eat is who we are. Let us affirm that which is best in us and in each other through the sacrament of food. With this in mind, I would like to introduce all of you to Karen Golden, who along with her husband, Stephen Torrance, are new members of our community of faith at Knox. In my first meeting with Karen and Stephen in their home, I learned that Karen is vegan and Stephen vegetarian, and that their spirituality and the way they choose to eat is in many ways a spiritual practice for them. So I tucked that away in my mind, and I invited Karen to come and talk about her connection between food and her spirituality. I think it's especially important during COVID-19 when we're forced to be more isolated than we normally would be and unable to gather as a spiritual community and get to know each other, that we find other ways to get to know folks in our community. So last week, I learned from Delaine Walsh on our green team about earthing and shared that with you and how our connection with the earth contributes to our spiritual resilience. And I shared my learnings from Delaine with you. And this week, I've invited Karen Golden to speak about her faith and what helps her to be more spiritually resilient as it pertains to food. So Karen, welcome.
Thank you.
And I would like to ask you some questions.
Sure.
The first is, tell us about your process in deciding to become a vegan, and what prompted your decision, and what does that look like?
Well, I didn't start off as a vegan when I stopped eating meat. First, I became a vegetarian in the early 1980s. After I saw a film at the Vancouver Film Festival that dealt with a lot of issues about, it was called The Animals Movie, and it was about a whole lot of things to do with animals, raising them for food as well as for fur, circuses, zoos, animal experimentation, all of that stuff. And after I left the movie, I thought, I've considered myself an animal lover all my life. I feel like I have to try to eat a meat-free diet. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I'm going to at least try. So I stopped eating meat and fish from that day on, and I was surprised, actually, at how easy it was. So that went on for some decades, and then about 10 years ago, I felt like I could no longer ignore the connection between dairy and meat production and the pain and suffering that's connected to the raising of chickens and for eggs and all of that. So I decided to try veganism, and that was a little harder, but I've never regretted the decision. I've never felt that I'm missing something. As the years have gone by, I've realized how many other reasons there are to continue to eat this way, the environmental impact of the way food is raised, the health benefits of eating a vegan or vegetarian diet. And so in time it's become more like a gift or an offering and not of giving up something. Now it's so much easier with all the resources online, and so that's how it happened.
How does food in general contribute to your spiritual resilience in this time of COVID-19 especially?
Well, I actually feel like right now is an opportunity for me, well, for us anyway, to really discover what matters and take the time to think about those things. I mean, so many things that are easy to do and are sort of superfluous in our lives have kind of fallen away, and it's only the really critically important stuff that's left during this time. And so we all have to eat, obviously, and so food is something that really does matter. And normally I would be eating in a hurry, I would be rushing somewhere, I would be eating, you know, the things that I always eat in a sort of a boring rotation rather than trying new things. So this has given us a chance to try some new ingredients and try some new recipes and to eat more slowly and mindfully. And because it had the coincidence of occurring during the spring and summer, we also have all these this wonderful produce available to us in this part of the world. Plus, like you, we have a vegetable garden, and I've really enjoyed that, you know, growing food for us and being connected to my garden and seeing all the little pollinators out there. And I know this probably sounds silly or corny, but honestly, every time I plant a seed and it actually germinates and turns into a plant, I'm just so impressed. It's like a little miracle. So, and it reinforces a connection to the natural world. Like, I think everybody's seen the pictures of the fish in the canals of Venice and the, you know, wildlife roaming the streets in little towns. And so the earth, it has been rejuvenated through the absence of the kind of abuse that we typically inflict on it. In quite a short period of time, it's reinforcing the notion that we can make a big difference in a short period of time. So that's a hopeful thing.
That's great. How is being a practicing vegan reflective of your spirituality?
Well, before I came back to church and started to become part of a faith community, I used to say that veganism was my religion. And in a way, you know, it still is. I mean, it's an integral part of it anyway. Protection of the earth and the creatures on the earth is something I feel like I have to at least try to do. And this is an important way for me to try to do that, you know? So, research has shown that a plant-based diet actually is the single most effective thing you can do to combat climate change in your life. I mean, I'm not knocking recycling or driving less, or those things are all important, but the single most effective thing you can do is to eat a plant-based diet. And if plant-based eating were adopted more broadly, as much as 50% more food would be available for people without ever expanding cropland. Because if we eat the plants directly instead of feeding them to the animals and then eating the animals, we can produce a lot more food. So those social justice issues were important reasons for my joining, for Stephen and me, to join Knox. And come back to church, but also kindness and compassion are pretty basic, fundamental goals. I just don't happen to limit it to humans. So if I'm going to try as a Christian to be kind and loving, and even when it's not always easy to be kind and loving, I think it's important to expand the circle. So if I know, as I do, that animals feel pain and fear, then I can't knowingly participate in a practice that perpetuates that. And the simplest way to say that is this thing I happen to find, I confess, online from the Buddha, which is, be kind to all creatures, that is the true religion. So, there you go.
I think the Buddha said it all.
I do too.
Thanks so much, Karen.
Thank you.
For sharing. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate being here.
That's great. You have been a blessing, and we are now going to turn to blessing this food, this sacrament of bread and cup, that Jesus offered in the sharing of his life with his companions. And so we're going to share that with one another now as we sing together. Blessed are those who come to the table, by Linnea Good, which Barb is going to lead us in.
Blessed are those who are called to the table. This meal rich and simple to nourish and heal. Blessed are those who have folded the napkin, set out the water, and tended the meal. Blessed are those, candle in hand. Blessed are those who serve. Blessed are those who are called to the table. The one who has hurt you, the one who is wrong, the ones unrepentant, unworthy, ungrateful, the ones who come early, stay late and too long. Blessed are those, apron in hand. Blessed are those who know. Blessed are those who are called to the table, this banquet of plenty, where God's love abounds. Let all of creation, in serving and sharing, rejoice at this table, the whole world around. Blessed is God, blessed are we, blessed is this table for all, blessed is this table for all.
I hope that you have all prepared something to eat at this time, whether it's a bun or a loaf of bread or a muffin, or I know in Africa, had communion with a potato chip, and something to drink, whether it's a cup of apple juice or grape juice or a glass of wine if it's later in the day when you're listening to this worship service. That communion is all about sharing a meal together, and that's what Jesus meant when he said, whenever you gather together, remember me, that I am present at whenever time we commune together and share a meal together. It always becomes sacred by the company of one another and by the presence of the Spirit among us. So with this in mind, I invite you to celebrate in this holy communion by reading together our invitation to communion. We gather in our respective sacred spaces to share a holy meal apart, yet wrapped together in spirit. This gift of bread and cup is holy when it is grown naturally by the earth, harvested by laborers paid a living wage, prepared and shared with love. all food in the way it is grown, harvested, prepared, and shared, makes it sanctified by the Christ who is host at this table. May we remember at the sacred sharing of the bread and pouring of the cup that the self-giving love of Christ is with us all in the breaking of the bread. Amen. In Jesus' last meal, as he gathered with his companions, in the Passover meal, he raised the bread and he blessed it and gave God thanks for it. And then he broke it, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Every time you eat of it, I want you to remember me." Likewise, after the supper, he took a cup and he lifted it and gave God thanks for it. And he poured out his love and said, "Divide this cup among you. I shall not drink of it again until I drink it anew with you in the new reign of God." The kingdom of heaven come to the earth. For this meal, I have prepared a vegan, gluten-free, blueberry banana muffin and some apple juice. And so I invite you now to eat and drink of whatever you have at home, knowing that we eat together and that in the eating and sharing of food, we are reminded of the sanctity of life, of the self-giving love of the Christ, and that we are called to not only be nurtured by the teachings and the food of Christ, but to share our food with others in the most ethical ways we can. Take, eat, and see and taste that God is good. Amen.
Than we'll ever understand. You are always at hand. Blessed are you coming here. Blessed are you coming near to your church in bread and wine from the soil, from the vine. You are holy. You are wholeness. You are present. Let the cosmos praise you, God. Alleluia. 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 You are whole, you are always evermore than we'll ever understand. You are always at hand. Blessed are you coming near. Blessed are you coming here to your church in bread and wine, from the soil, from the vine. You are holy. You are wholeness. You are present. Let the cosmos praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, our God.
Let us pray. Sacred source of all life, we give thanks that you have nourished us at your table, that every day you provide enough for the whole world to eat. We pray that you would open our hearts that we might share more ethically and lovingly. Help us to care for one another better than we have done. O God, we give thanks for all your goodness which you provide every day to all the animals, to all the creatures, to the birds of the air, to the fish of the sea, to all of us who live upon this blue-green planet. For your goodness, we give thanks.
For all your goodness, God, we give you thanks. Thanks for the food we eat and for the friends we meet. For each new day we greet, we give you thanks.
Loving God, we pray this day for all the peoples of the earth who are suffering with COVID-19. We see the numbers rising in countries south of our border, in countries struggling like India, the continent of Africa. There is no place on the earth that has not been touched by this virus. We pray for healing for this planet. We pray that we might find healthy treatments that would restore health. We pray that we might find new ways of connecting, and that when this is all over, we might find more ethical ways of living together with one another. Help this to be a recalibration of how we live, how we eat, how we travel, how we live. We give thanks for your spirit that moves among us this day, bringing healing to all those who are grieving. We pray especially for the Pierden family and the loss of Glenn. We continue to pray for Marlene Smikowitz in the loss of Tom and in the loss of her little grandson, Jonathan. We pray for Marlene and her daughter, Sherry, and for her remaining twin grandson, Caleb. Bring healing to them. We pray this day for all those who grieve this day, for all those who have died of COVID-19, or other causes. We pray this day for all those among us who are ill of body, of mind, or heart, or spirit. And we pray for restoration of health and well-being. O God, for your healing goodness, we give thanks.
Thanks. Thanks for the food we eat. Thanks for the friends. since we meet, for each new day we greet, we give you thanks.
And now in the silence, we bring before you our celebrations and thanksgivings, and our concerns and our fears and our hopes. We bring them before you now in the sanctity of this time. O God, we give thanks that your heart toward us is kind and compassionate as to all your creatures, that you love each one of us with all that you have created, and you see our goodness even as we celebrate yours, that we are indeed created in your image of goodness. Be with us this day and every day as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught all those who would choose to follow after him. Our Father and Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please join with us as we sing our final hymn, We Are One As We Come.
We are one as we share, brokenness and fear. In the touch of a hand, there's a sense that God is here. And we are one as we care, as we heal, we are healed, and we share warmth in God's embrace as we pray together in this place. We are one as we hear, as we feast, peace becomes the sign. We are one, we receive. There's a sense that God is light. We are one as we leave, as we love, we are love. And we seek justice in God's ways as we move together from this place.
As a man named Michael once said, we have an opportunity to change the world with food. 3 times a day. So let's go forward and become the change we want to see in the world. And as we go forth to make that difference, let us go forth trusting in the great love of God that surrounds us and in the peace and the wisdom of the Christ who accompanies us and in the fullness of the Holy Spirit as it fills us, giving us the courage and strength we need, our resilience, for this day and every day. Amen. And I realize, Barb, that we skipped right from the scripture into the reflection because that's just my habit, and also my poor eyes with my glasses. So I'm wondering if you, for our postlude, could sing God Bless the Child. Wonderful. Thank you, Barb.
Them that's got shall get, and them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, and Papa he may have, but God bless the child who's got her own, who's got her own. Well, the rich get more, while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't ever make the grade. All your mama may have, and your papa he may have, but God bless that child who's got her own, who's got her own. When you've got money, you've got a lot of friends. Well, they're all hanging round your door. But when the money's gone and the spending ends, well, they don't come round. They don't come round no more, but rich relations give crusts of bread and such. You can help yourself, but don't take too much. Your mama may have, and your papa he may have, but God bless the child who's got her own, who's got her own. Who's got her own?